Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the 30-meter line, they're going to take it. They're going to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot from Anessa.
He's got it.
Oh, what a kick.
He got it.
A kick.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Irish NRL Show. Delighted to be joined, as per usual, by the Tash. How are you, mate? You all good?
Not too bad, brother. Quite a weekend, so just sat and watched the rugby.
Hey, one, good to hear.
I'll issue
an apology in advance. I'm drastically underprepared for this week's episode, but look, we'll wing it. We'll get by. And just don't call me out on Twitter. But you can follow me on Twitter. Sasquatch Scoop. So I suppose round 16. Few interesting results. Otherwise known as the washout round, I think it's fair to say.
Disaster weather, wasn't it? There's some great pictures on... The Raiders and Dragons game. Up in your man up in the hill.
Like, two boys up in the stand, yeah.
It was rough weather.
Yeah, there was like... It was like I got up to watch the game, and let me tell you, it fueled my deadlift session thereafter. there was various points where there was two fellas, and then I think up by the windsock. For halfway through the second half, a third fella obviously got brave and up, but he didn't make it to the end of the second half.
Yeah, he was like, "Good luck with this, you're crazy." Yeah. Just walking down.
Two hardcore fans. To be fair play to them. But yeah, I suppose. Let's get through this week. We obviously got the reviews of round 16 in the tipping. It did not go well for me, if you can remember from last week. And then obviously an abridged round 17, just the four fixtures, load of sides on buys. And then we'll do a little precursor to Game 3 of Origin, which takes place next Wednesday. So without much further ado.
So we are going Manly and Storm on Thursday. 36-30 to Manly. It was a sloppy first half for Manly. Manly have, I think, they're third in complete sets in the league, I think. And the first seven sets, they had two set completions. It sort of turned around for them. Storm are coming on the back of good ball possession. Pap went up the left-hand side, tried a little grubber in behind, and Kohler just picked it off lovely, ran the pitch. I think it was a try-out and nothing. Like, it didn't really sway the team. And then I think Manly started putting pressure then. DC kicked a lovely 40-20, like, perfect. And from that set, Stab went over in the corner after that. And that's when they started turning the screw a little bit. Storm sort of ran out of diesel in the first half, like, very much so. Very unlike them as well. Like, I think Bellyek had a blow up at half time. Like, it wasn't good. Like, but everything sort of Manly did, they came away with points. It was one of them that the Storm just couldn't get a foothold in it. Like, they scored points from anything. Like, and it just wasn't typically, I don't know if it was Munster not being there or something like that. It was, they were lacking something. I think they're really lacking the prop that I got, the AC, or the Achilles, what was his name? The blondie fella. For the Storm. Oh, shite, what's his name? I can see him in my face.
Yeah.
You know who we're talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I hope the listeners know who you're talking about.
I can see him in my mind's eye. But I think they're really missing him in these sort of games. Like, the go-forward ball he gets. And Munster just to lead him around the field and maybe out of nothing to drag them out. Like, he's one of them boys just to grab it by the scruff. I think if Manly played this way, they're in trouble. If they play like they played in the last 10 minutes, they'll beat any team off the field, which was a complete turnaround. I think poor feckin'. If you're a Manly fan, you would be sweating in the last 10 minutes of this game. Because it would have been another loss at the just from the jaws of victory, like, which they did already, like, previous. But I think the Storm, like, I know Bellyache flogged them on Sunday. This game was on a Thursday. I think he flogged them on Sunday or Saturday, the train Saturday.
Christian Welch,
bingo on the button. But they're definitely missing that big body. I know they have Big Nelson and stuff like that, but he's still not the ball player that Christian Welch is. Like, he's a very much get up, get fast, play the balls and stuff like that. And
he's the character too, Christian Welch.
Yeah, I think that as well. But, like, if you lost the like of Ado Carr as well, like, it's a big loss, and you lose him as well as the season goes on. It's not great for the yuck. But I think, like, this is. The Storm will bounce back from this, and like Bellier can get them up. I think he's a great fella in the moment to like lay down the law, and then after that he's very much next game, like, so he'll flog them one training session, they'll know he did it wrong, and then he'll just keep them going.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, which is very un-Storm like, is it was a big game. It was Hector Cheese's 100th fixture, and the Storm nearly always
get up for these ones. Get up for these ones, which was strange for me as well. Like, that was it really. There was last 10 minutes, if you want to watch that again to see how good the Storm are and how bad the Manly can shit the load.
it was a big result for Manly all the same. They needed that to kind of kick start their season, because it's kind of come in fits and starts. Next fixture, that's all right. Knights Titans 38-12 in favour of the Knights, 22-0 I think it was at half time. Strange sort of a game. Like, when you look through the scorers, and you have a hat trick for young Dominic Young, who's obviously going to be representing Jamaica at the World Cup, and then 5 tries by Edric Lee,
who's off to the Dolphins at the end of the year. Like,
club captain, and then obviously a send off for Jared Wallace in the 70th minute. It was a strange game. I'd obviously tip the Titans, and they're broken is kind of the easy way. There's probably players plotting kind of transfers at the end of the season and kind of
see who comes in then as well. Like,
yeah, they're just, I feel sorry for Holbrook. I know I've said it a few times, like, I do think we're getting to a stage now where he will come under pressure.
Yeah.
Just as a result of people who were under pressure, who've kind of vacated their positions, he's kind of the next man up. But I don't think it's all his fault. I just think they've spent big money on your likes here for Fida, where big money should have been spelt elsewhere.
But then you think, who's the fault? Like, I know the coach would have the final say, and who doesn't want Fida, but I think the price range that you got him at was the problem. I think it's always going to go back to that price scale, like, that he's on. Like,
I just think, like, when you look at the perfect explanation for this for me is Payne Haas and Paddy Harrigan at the Broncos. So you look at Payne Haas looking for a million, if anyone's foolish enough to pay him that, fair enough. Like, we get it, he's an exceptional player, but you can make up for what he brings in the interest. So you can get like a Thomas Flegler and a Paddy Harrigan, arguably on maybe 300 grand less.
Oh, definitely less again. Like, he could, like, yeah. A Thomas Flegler could be on $500,000, 400, like, and be happy.
Yeah, and you make it up in the interest, and you've two kind of.
Well, you could get three players for the price that Watson's going to cost you ultimately, like.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's kind of thrown the toys out of the pram a few times, as Ben has. So, now I know we're talking about the Broncos and we're on about the Titans, but I just think when you're trying to rebuild, I think you need to pay on your spine players and just get bodies in your kind of pack and kind of your edges. And that's kind of where I think the Titans, if they probably, look, they arguably needed a marquee player.
But he wasn't the one that you needed. He definitely wasn't the one. If you got a 7 or a 6, or even a gun hat, like, well, I don't think it's worked for the Knights to get Ponga as your key marquee player, like, as much as they thought they would have. But like, if you got a 7 or 6 or a ball playing 13, like, it would have been far much better. Like,
but you could argue, like, who's been probably one of the better half pairings on a budget, the. In terms of output to budget, the best halves pairing in the NRL this year.
It's
the
Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys.
Well, that three, like, that Drinkwater as well, like, you throw him in there as well. The three of them, for the money they're on, probably would scare you for what the rest of the competition are on, like.
Yeah. It's a real kind of adjustment period. But look, two clubs who I probably don't think are going to make the 8. So, like, probably worth a watch as a game if it's on live, but I wouldn't be racing back to rewatch it. Kind of my synopsis, the Knights Titans.
Yeah, I think we'll. I know that it was a high scoring game, but like, there's not much there, like, to
draw you back in.
Yeah. Next game, Panthers and Rooster, Friday, the late one on Friday. It was 26-18 to the Panthers, I'm afraid. Panthers' first try was like a typical Panthers try, just slick hands down the right hand side, and Brian in there just squeezing in the corner. There was a sort of a, I know it's a little bit of a controversy now, but there was a Verrills tackle in between this, just after this, that he sort of ducked low and Saracen went over the top of him, and he was penalised for lifting the legs up, which was ridiculous, I thought.
Soft. Yeah, it would be.
But completely wrong. Like, and then on the back of, I think the next penalty, they made a break through Salmon and Angus Crichton got a yellow card off it. Like, so that was two big calls that the ref made. I know it was probably harsh. Angus, I know he did pull back Crichton a little bit, but it was another soft penalty in the lead up in such a close proximity from the first penalty. Like, ultimately, it didn't really cost the Roosters. They went on and scored. I think Teddy made a break and he put Sam Walker over then, which was it a 6-8 or 6-4, I think. So it wasn't too bad, but I just thought that, I know Robinson came out in the press after it and it was very much a talking point, which was a bit strange for me. Like, I thought like the game was in the balance. I know the Roosters went on, they were 18-4 leading with the last 15 minutes. 18-14, sorry, leading the last 15 minutes, and Cleary just stepped up. Like, he had a lovely faceball to Tago, put him in over the front, and then Curacao just a little scoot. Radley played his heart out, I thought.
Yeah, you gotta love him.
He couldn't do any more, but on that, in Curacao's try, he just fell asleep. He busted someone, got up, and I think he was talking to him a little bit, and then just fell asleep, went the wrong side of the ruck, and Carson just snuck over there for that, just to get them over the line. But I think with Radley in the on the field, the Roosters look a far better team.
Yeah, he's the heart, is really, isn't he?
He leads, like, his efforts in some of them, like there's, if you look at some of the sets, he's making about 3 tackles a set, like, and they're not like just going for the leg tackles, which is ridiculous. Like, he really forces the defense in that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, no, look, I think we're both probably huge fans of the Radley. So
yeah, but it's great to see him back. That he, like as we said previously, like, and we didn't really touch on it at the time, but when I went back and looked at him, he was one of the missing links in this. When we kept on saying about these Roosters' defence, like it's not good enough. I think I know they are they 10th now in the league. They're just two out of it, with I think it's two games at hand. Oh, not two games at hand, but they have to win by two to get back up into the top eight. I don't know their round. I don't know what their fixtures are, but it's going to be tight for them to try and break the eight, even with Victor back.
Victor the Inflictor. Yeah. Yeah, they're under pressure. Like the Dragons are still in the eight, so it's probably. Look, I'm going to be very optimistic and say it's between. I think the Rabbitohs kind of showed their back in a big way, but we'll get to that in, like kind of later on in the show. But yeah. I think then we can stick a fork in the Knights. To be fair, I know they're only 2 points. I'd say I give us the smallest of hope in 11th, Roosters in 10th. Seagulls in 9th, and then the Dragons in 8th. I think one of those four sides makes the 8th. I think the Roosters or the Rabbitohs kick on.
Is the Roosters, do the Roosters have a bye in the next one? That's them, that's the 2 points then. They're back up to just 2 points then, is it?
The
if they're not playing, if they're not playing next week, then yeah, that's their bye week, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they'll go up by 2 points then, and then Rabbitohs or well, Raiders have 2 points as well. Yeah, no, it doesn't really affect the table as much.
But it's just the fact that the Dragons are playing as well.
The Broncos, so theoretically drop down.
Yeah, teams in the bye, obviously, Doggies, Cowboys, Panthers, Raiders, Roosters, Manly, Titans, and the Warriors.
Yeah, so they all get 2 points.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, but that was probably, arguments made, that was probably, in terms of quality aspect, probably the game of the round.
Yeah, I think Roosters fans would be a little bit happier with, I know the result wasn't the result they wanted, but the team they're playing is the Premiers.
So it's a palatable loss.
Yeah,
it's a palatable
loss. Yeah, like it was there to be won, if you get me, like.
Yeah, and you back yourself in a winner takes all in a playoff game, you'd say.
Yeah, no, we had them, or we were close to them like last time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose next up, another weather affected fixture, Doggies Sharks, obviously 18-6 to the Sharks, with 6 all at half time. Jake Avarillo with a late try in the first half, and then I think to be fair, the Sharkies grounded out. I know we kind of, we definitely are huge fans of Nico, but I just thought,
but Nico with the rain though, oh my god, the hair. He should be playing in the rain all the time. It was like a point break.
It was more his control for me, for someone who's new to the starting position,
yeah,
at a NRL level, to show that kind of experience and just kind of manage the weather. And like
when the team when the team isn't going good, like, or as you say, weather affecting play, like, you think your experienced halfbacks would run the show, like, but for him to step up and say, I get this, like, when you have the other halfback beside him, like, that's signed on for another two years.
Yeah. I always thought, kind of key performers for me as well, like, he's kind of always, like, consistently overlooked, but I thought Nakora in the second row had kind of a monster game as well.
I thought the back five were very, very good in the conditions, like Talakai, since his big, like, since that big game he played, like, I think he ran over, was it 184 meters or something, but still, like, that's massive, and still they want the big yards out of him. And he's consistent. Yeah, he's consistent with these, like, which is ridiculous. And Ramey on the other side, like, them two boys are working really well. And Will Kennedy is I think he ran for 150, like, where I think nobody on the Bulldogs ran from over 100, like, which just shows you, like,
you're wrong.
Oh, sorry.
But I'll read it out to you. Most run meters, you ready?
Yeah.
The top six most run meters. So Talakai 170, Will Kennedy 163, Jesse Raymond 161. Next up was Corey Waddell 150, and then Fatila Mariner ran for 143 meters as well. And then it gives Jeremy Marshall King, but I know he definitely wasn't the sixth. He was 101 run meters. So right. Yeah, look, I think you're trying to you're fucking hard.
Yeah. I didn't see that. Look, stat. I said the back five.
Yeah. Fair enough, mate. No. But look, I thought like the doggies are not the doggies of.
No, they're far better than they were. Like, yeah. I think Potter has them playing good stuff. Like,
and that weather is the great equaliser, as the fella says. So
yeah, no. Look, like, big, and as you say, like, yeah, the Sharks could have put them to sword, and they didn't in the weather. Like, so, like, they are a team that are far better than they were.
Yeah. So that's all from that one.
So the next one,
probably,
yeah, it's a high scoring game. So Saturday, Cowboys and Broncos, 40-26 to the Cowboys. These are two teams that can score tries. They have no problem with scoring tries. I know Reynolds came out strongly and denied that his ribs were affecting him, but there was some sloppy play in his play. Like, he threw an intercept for the Cowboys first try. And then he kicked two out in the full. And even when he was passing, like, even when he went to run the ball, he was passing the ball a lot earlier than he'd used to, like. Like, it was just straight. Like, normally he'd bring it to the line, like, up to the line, and he's going to get belted, like. But he was passing way earlier. And I think that put the Broncos a little bit out of sync in the way they're used to getting the ball off him. Like, they had to actually... Whereas before, he put them into space... The Broncos boys outside backs nearly had to find their own space, like, because they were getting the ball that early. The Cowboys nearly had an answer for any points the Broncos scored, and just outlasted them at the end. Like, like, fair play. Like Peyton is, I think he has the, like, these are, I think the Cowboys, like, I would not like to get the Cowboys in the playoffs.
No, especially how they're tracking. They're, like, they're likely to,
like, if I, they are on the same points as, they're on the same points as the Storm. Like, so if the Storm slip up, I know they have a game at hand, the Storm, but if the Storm slip up and they go into to second, is that a home semi-final? Or home, yeah, second, quarter, whatever
be,
way it
it'd
works.
It'd be first. Yeah. Well, it'd be first versus fourth, and second versus third.
So you could be sitting. You could be the Sharks or the Broncos or Eels or anyone that got that. That would be a horrible, horrible assignment, especially up in North Queensland. Like, yeah, that is
as the weather starting to turn back.
Yeah, hot. especially when it starts getting a bit warmer up there. Like, it'll be a horrible, horrible. Nobody want to go up there at all in the playoffs.
Yeah. And
the Cowboys are, they're definitely worth their salt now this year. I know we all tipped them at the beginning of the year, but I strongly take it back, and I rooted out all my Cowboys gear, so I'm going to ride these into the finals.
What happens if the Roosters make a late start? What are you going to do
then? I have gear as well. Like, they might play each other on the same day. Like, I can change. I can change.
Fair. Yeah, that's valid. Next up, now this is one we both got wrong, and it kind of shows we got it wrong in a big way. So we both kind of tipped Para to overcome the Rabbitohs, but Rabbitohs came good in a big way.
Our beach sprinter, 30 points to 12. Our beach sprinter came good.
Yeah, our beach sprinter. I thought, look, the silent assassin. Johnson again, two lovely tries, and Latrell showed kind of what they've been missing. He really got them going. There's that Damien Cook try shows you all of Latrell's worth. He just bursts the game open.
I think his one-to-ones, like, make him so valuable, like, compared to, like, other centers and stuff like that. When he comes on one-to-one, you actually don't know what's going to happen. When he wants to do it, and he finds himself in open pastures, and he has one defender in front of him, you're either going to be sat down or made a show of.
Yeah.
And Reid Manny is no slouch in defence.
No, but on an Eels kind of standing, They are who we feared they were, not who we hoped they would be. I just think this season, unfortunately for Brad Arthur, is probably his last. And it's a shame because they've been competitive throughout his entire tenure, but I just think the Eels faithful expect a championship from this side, and I don't think he'll be the man to deliver it. So I think he could be asked to maybe step down at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Key talking point from this, though, is actually not the result. It's Latrell's decision to withdraw from Origin 3. It's a decision I wholeheartedly support, and I think fair play to him for having the gumption. He probably wasn't going to be picked anyway. He's played one game. But I think just to kind of kill the media headlines leading into the game, and then if New South Wales were to lose, the whole they should have picked Latrell kind of element of it, I think, yeah, Jordan, kind of incredible maturity, and it's kind of,
yeah,
kind of a good look.
They were talking shite on NRL 360 there today,
that's I've never seen that happen before,
but they were, I think Buzz put it up that if you play the NRL you cannot withdraw from rep sides if you get picked or something like that. It's in the contract or something. But nobody has come back in one game and been picked and withdrew themselves. But he still kept on going on about it, which it sickened me a little bit for the fella that he, Latrell, sometimes in the media he gets portrayed one way, and I think what he does for the Aboriginal community as well, it's ridiculous for these to be put on such a high pedestal, and then anything he does that could be classed as a controversy or something like that be dragged along on a Monday morning, and him just coming back to be dragged into a controversy that it's much of a muchness, it's nothing.
They just love filling Colin Inches with Latrell Mitchell, that's,
well, it sells, that's why
ultimately, it's a problem, isn't it? Unfortunately, just what kind of, it's like, the poor kid, when I say kid, but he can do nothing right no matter
how much he does. Yeah,
if he didn't say that and he was picked, it would be, how dare they pick him, he's only back from,
but then if he didn't come out and said what he said, would they be talking about why you haven't picked him? So it nearly takes away from the selectors the pressure of why haven't you picked him, that way. It's a double-edged sword, but I think there's more, it's more positive that he came out and said what he said instead of the selectors coming out and saying we didn't pick him because he only played one game. He unpicked himself, and it makes it the most unselfish thing, and back the two lads that were there as well.
Yeah, one of which I have issues with, but
just because you're
we'll get to that.
I think you're going to talk about it now in a minute.
I am, but you next.
Warriors and Tigers on Sunday. 22-2 to the Warriors. So the home fans got what they wanted, which was a victory.
First home victory in 1,000 days or something.
Tohu Harris scored the first try back in New Zealand after Egan's try got scratched off earlier. He never even got it down. And then the next two tries came off Johnson's boot. The first one was absolutely gorgeous, pinpoint into the corner for Selezniak to get up and compete. The Tigers tapped it back. I don't know who tapped it back, but Harris Tafita got in there and scored when the ball was in the end zone. And then the second one was, it was a lazy run by Johnson just down the right hand side, brought it to the line and just chipped it, kicked it up straight in the air for Selezniak again, who got up and competed, and Arthur got the tap back and crashed over the line. Tigers are absolutely appalling. The only positive for the Tigers was Offan Gowey. I thought he played hard well. 58 tackles I think he made, but he was the only one to sort of fight, which was poor. The Tigers are the only coach that will come to this will be the like of Shane Flanagan or Paul Green, maybe an established coach. They're not in
I
a new think. coach would not need this hassle.
I think the only person that's going to take this is a new coach. I think anyone that has any experience and has any standing is not going to take the risk in this. Someone will take it, obviously, because there's only a finite number of NRL jobs. But like you've seen Cameron Ciraldo turn it down.
Like, and he got the whole, like, everything was open to him, like.
Yeah.
Like, and supposedly they came back and said, what they need is an experienced coach to lead this. You do not need a new coach because this is, it's what's underneath is the problem.
I think, yeah, until Pasco goes, I think it's not. We've seen it in Tales of Tiger Town. Like, yeah. It's
very much
broken. It's been broke for a while. There's loads of issues. Like, I don't think that merger of the Western suburbs in Balmain ever really went down too well. Yeah. They're kind of fierce rivals. It's a bit like, to borrow a rugby union expression, it's a bit like the merger between Neath and Swansea. Like, there was a huge rivalry and maybe Ospreys, and just it's never really sat right.
Yeah.
Tigers the same, and then you've got a Trump wannabe in Pasco, his fake tan and his dodgy hair dye.
And his stage photographs.
Until he goes, I don't think we're going to see a change in the West Tigers' fortune. And like, I love Tim Sheens, brilliant coach, been there, done that, proven it, actually, like, did it with Benji and obviously famous Pat Richards try, but I just don't think they're ever going to get back there until they get rid of Pasco, because he is a leech. Look, delighted for the Warriors, we call it, there wasn't a hope in hell.
Yeah, they're going to fuck this up.
Yeah, no. So good to see them back home and get the homecoming they deserve. Absolute heroes for what they've done for the NRL competition over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, happy days.
Do you want to keep on talking about the Warriors, or what's the story?
Right, come on, we get this over and done with. So St. George, Illawarra Dragons 12, Canberra Raiders 10. Really kicked my Sunday off to a ferocious start. yeah, look, just a tough watch. I think a forward pack has done brilliantly. It's kind of our spine positions that are letting us down, and arguably the least experience is the best one in Zach Woolford. I think I really rate him as a hooker. I like how he controls the tempo, and then you bring on Jesus, name escapes me. Sub hooker is Starling, sorry. Jesus, I don't know how that escaped me. But I think Fogarty, which is I know he's in your back from injury, but I had higher hopes for him. Jack is Jack. Xavier Savage is just rocks and diamonds. Like, he took the try brilliantly. You know, he dealt with some horrific ball in those conditions. But then the Moses Suley try, a minute out before half time, he didn't get off the line. He kind of stood in his line and kind of, like a big man, you have to rush him. I thought he showed his inexperience there. And then look, it was an awful kind of second half. Like, you got to bear in mind that the Dragons didn't score after that Moses Suley try in 38 minutes.
Yeah,
we got to try obviously Hudson Young, but we just couldn't get across the line, and it's not losses to the Storm and the Panthers that have damaged us. It's these easy winnable games. Not that the Dragons are a bad side, but on their day they can be horrific. And we've left so many points on the table this season, and we're probably not going to make the eight. It would be phenomenal for us to make the eight from this position, given how tight and much of a logjam. But I just, for me, right, and I know I'm biased, if Joey DePine doesn't win Daily M properly here, well, then I'm done with the voting system, because he's been a different custard. Different custard. I just think he's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah. Like, and even you look at the Dragons, like, Ben Hunt was average. Like,
yeah, there weren't, the there was nobody, yeah, there was nobody really standing out for the Dragons, like especially Ben Hunt. Like,
yeah, I thought Jack Byrd had a good game. Just did some of the kind of the hard yards and a bit of the kind of unsung work. And he I think he came up with the try assist, I think, for Moses Suley. Just put a lovely ball, put him through that line. But yeah, no, I've aged this season.
But I think the pill that I found hard to swallow with the Raiders was the last play where Hunt came off the line. No, the six mate. Again. I think mate. It was what?
Mate.
What's wrong?
You didn't find that hard to swallow at all. You were at home laughing. You were like, I can't wait to get this
podcast. I was crying as hard as the rain was falling.
Yeah, you were me shite.
I know, I was laughing. I was so laughing.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was such an easy out for the ref to call a six again when there's only 6 seconds left in the fucking clock, where it should have been a penalty.
Penalty.
Because he flopped on him first. Hunt flopped on him first. Made the other tackler sort of fall into the tackle zone and only got round the corner to come offside again. So like there was two or three offences in one tackle that should have warranted a penalty, which would have brought you to golden point, and then it's in your hands again. Like,
yeah, then it's anyone's game.
Yeah, like the six again rule was great when it works, but these sort of rulings kill the game. Like, it brings it's it into total. Yeah, it brings it into total. It makes the rule null and void. Like, because it's easier to go knowing. Like, it means nothing to the Dragons to do a six again with 6 seconds left, because the next play the ball and you're done. Like,
yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, look, I agree with you. Yeah. It was a rough call now, but look, as bad of a call as it is, shouldn't have got to that. There was ample possession, ample opportunity to win that fixture, and we left it out there. It's not. That decision is not going to define our season. It's kind of not getting over, like, the faders tag, to be honest with you. Now I know we didn't fade in this, like, we were behind kind of pretty much the whole way through, but that's where we kind of failed. But look, tipping fantastic. I think you went 6 of 8 and I went 3 of 8, so I think off the top of my head I think the score now is 71 points to yourself and 60. I was on a bit of a roll. I was
coming back,
slowly chipping away, and then boom, blow me out of the water in one round. So yeah, round 17. Is it me first or yourself?
Yeah, yourself.
Okay, so you've left me with an absolute doozy, and I really want to thank you for this, because like, I obviously had an exceptionally busy day today at work. We're obviously recording on a Monday, and okay. I actually got my fixtures wrong.
Yeah, so, I was looking at that going, what's he mean, little bastard?
Yeah, I thought you said you were doing odds. But that's okay. Yeah, fair enough. So, Thursday. 10:50. Storm versus the Sharkies. Up in PointsBet Stadium. Let's call it what it is. It's Shark Park.
Shark Park.
This is going to be an interesting fixture. You've looked at the kind of the blues and the maroon squads. The side that's arguably going to lose out more is obviously going to be the Storm with their Queensland based players. Yeah. The Sharkies have a chance here.
I think, especially a home fixture. And especially the way the Storm perform. I know they're never going to perform like that again in their long time. But their current form and Sharks being at home, it makes it interesting.
I'm so tempted to tip the Sharkies, but I just don't think I can tip in a manner that's going to mean the Storm lose 2 in a row. Oh, it's very tough now.
Will Hines be released if he's 19th man?
There's talk. Obviously, Talakai could drop to 18th man. Someone else could go 17th man. But
I'll get out of here, you.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Sharkies. I'm gonna have to be aggressive on the home stretch if I'm gonna catch you.
I will go Sharks as well, would you?
Oh, bugger. Fair yourself.
Yes. So the Knights and the Rabbitohs on Friday.
This is the game I thought you wanted me to review.
No, sorry, I apologize. 10:55 on Friday evening. Oh, Friday morning, sorry. I think the Rabbitohs put 30 points on the Eels on a shitty day. It'll be scary to see what they put on the Knights on a good day. So
with Luttrell on his second game back. His first game back.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, like, they'll be missing a few lads, but I think they're far, far stronger now with the two lads playing in that combination. So I am tipping the Rabbitohs on that one.
Yeah, happy with that. Yeah, I'll join you on that one. It's just kind of a bit of a slam dunk, that one, to be fair. Yeah. Struggle with it. Yeah, a bit of a... Next up, I suppose, Saturday morning, 10:35, bit of a Western Sydney derby. The Eels probably not as affected as they should be, fair to say, given the talent at their disposal. But look, like our Oval, 10:35, West Tigers versus Parramatta Eels. Look, I'm not saying it won't happen, because it has happened already this season, but you'd be out of your mind to back the West Tigers in this one. I'd say Parramatta Eels on the bounce back after that fixture. Weather, I don't know what it's likely to be, but if it's a dry track, could be scary. I think they could put 20 on them.
Yeah, it'll be a fixture now. If you'd be stupid not to go against the Eels.
Yeah. You're looking at the odds there. I know they're Australian in the odds, but Parramatta coming in at $1.20, West's coming in at $4.50. So
that much?
$4.50.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And well, yeah, because, like, I know they're not missing that many. Like, the Eels aren't missing that many going to camp. Like, you think Clint will play. Regan Campbell Gillard didn't make the team. Like, Reid Manny's still there. Like, Paps will be there. Like, they are a strong, strong team, especially in this time of the year. Like,
it's funny you mentioned missing out, when potentially some of our listeners could miss out by not clicking the link in the podcast description and visiting usasports.co.uk and picking up some high quality US sporting apparel. It's just funny you brought that up, actually.
Yeah, it's coming to that season again, isn't it?
It's terrible. I hate myself.
Yeah, you sell out, you fuck. Yeah. So Sunday, the 10th of July, Suncorp Stadium, Brisbane Broncos and the Dragons. This one, I think Suncorp Stadium plays a lot, and I think they'll be buzzing the week that's in it. I think the fact that it's sold out for State of Origin 3, a lot of people will go to the game on Sunday just to get the feel for it. Like, so I think with the home team advantage, I think the Broncos will do a number on the Dragons, I think. Especially with Ben Hunt away. Like,
everyone in that A place logjam a massive favour.
Well, there are a few injury doubts, like Tamarna Mary, I think he picked up a rib injury, and Tessie New, his hamstring is due back. Don't know if it's this week or next week, so it'll be interesting to see. You're losing Haas, Carrigy and Cobo and Capewell, like, but I think with the likes of Reynolds and people around him, like even Brenko Lee coming into the side, like, I think that's, they have good replacements in ways, like.
Yeah, he's a. We've talked about it before, the time Brenko spent at Melbourne has made him a far more reliable and favourite player.
He's just like, as you say, like any Storm player that comes out of there, like, they're just a professional.
Yeah.
Which is, and I will tip Broncos. Yourself?
Yeah, probably going to tip Broncos, more out of kind of a desire to kind of keep the Raiders in the hunt than any more logical reason. Now, look, I do think the Broncos would be heavy favourites up there. But I actually think that's potentially the pick of the games this weekend. I know we've got Storm and the Sharkies, but I think that could be a bit of a be a bit of a slugfest, that one.
Yeah, I think there's nobody really going to go. It could go either way, like, and you wouldn't see it.
Yeah. Okay. So now, kind of, I suppose the main reason.
Home field advantage. You can go first.
Yeah. So I'll call out the Queensland starting side. Obviously key ins, obviously both former Hamiso, Tabai Fidau, Sam Walker, Tommy Flegler and Tom Gilbert, and the key out is Felice Kaufusi. So 11:10 on Wednesday the 13th of July, obviously Suncorp we've discussed. So back line, Ponga, Cabo, other wing Murray Tuilagi, centres of Valentine Holmes, Dane Gagai, then your halfback pairing of Cameron Munster and Daly Cherry Evans. Forward pack, someone who's been immense this series and hasn't kind of got the praise he deserves, Lindsay Collins. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal in this day of origin, particularly game one. And then obviously hooker, you've got Ben Hunt, Josh Papali'i, Cork Capewell, Germany Nanai, and then big Tino Fa'asuma Aulau. Definitely butchered that. Interchange bench of Harry Grant, Joy Arrow, Paddy Garrigan, and Tom Gilbert. And then obviously your reserves, as mentioned, you've kind of got Tommy Flegler, you've got Tom Dearden, Bo Formore, the Hammer, and Sam Walker. But I think that 17, I think, is pretty much Tom Gilbert maybe under a bit of pressure, but I think that's kind of the 17 we're going to start with.
Tom Gilbert, another Cowboy coming into the squad, like, it just shows you how the Cowboys are tracking this year, like.
Yeah, shows you how well they're going. Obviously, yeah, it's I'll let you go through the sides before we start making calls. Cool. And stuff.
All right, so I just name out the sides there now. I'll name out New South Wales. So, fullback James Tedesco, captain, Brian Tahoe and Daniel Tupou on the wings. Matt Burton, Stephen Crichton hold their spaces in centre. Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary in the halves. Jordan McLean and Jakey Trevojevic propping. Corsau and Hooken. Cam Murray and Liam Martin on the Rose. And Isaac Yeo on Lucy. On the interchange, Damien Cook, Angus Crichton, Junior Paulo and Talakai all retain their places. 18th man, a little slide down for Nico, but Jack Whiten's in there. 19 is Nico, 20 is Clint Gutterson, 21 Jacob Safi, and then 22 Reese Robson. So that's another Cowboy in, which is great to see.
Two of them in the New South Wales side as well. It's brilliant. Anthony change.
I don't know. There's questions over like Jordan McLean. Like, I think it's great for him to go up, coming from the Storm, like, and we all know the history of Jordan, like, and to go up to the Cowboys, sit quiet for a while, and like his tackle efficiency this year is 96.8. So you're talking the same way as Jakey, like. Yeah. So I think they're looking at the defense, like the first 15 minutes, Queensland will throw the kitchen sink at them, and they're looking at the defense. New South Wales are looking for the defense, like that they're hoping to stem the tide, like. As you say, like, you're going to talk about him anyway, like, but Jack, you could see him. I know Crichton, we had a few critiques of him there the last game, so you could see Jack Whiten going in there into the, like, it mean nothing to me for him to go in and start in the centre, or Talakai to move down to 18th and him to take that, like, arguably it'd be the 14th role, like, but he can still play Lucy or like he can still be an option in the back, like. But I think, like, it's a strong team.
Yeah. And what's your prediction?
My heart.
This is 10-4 tipping now.
My heart tells me New South Wales.
What's your head tell you?
My head tells me Queensland.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar boat, to be fair. It's just, do you know what? I like the thing to bear in mind for game two, and I think you pretty much nailed the head on hit the nail on the head. Like, a huge aspect of game two, which hasn't been talked about enough, was the travel and the fact that Queensland flew in so late and had to adjust. Whereas there's all these stats that, like, the New South Wales players, obviously they're recording their sleep, and their best sleep was the night before the game.
And that took them a week. That took them a week to get acclimatized.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I definitely, I think these sides are a lot more even than game two, whatever you believe.
Yeah.
Especially after game one. There's just something in that kind of New South Wales side, and look, I don't really rate Stephen Crichton. He's potentially a weak link for me. If things go back to kind of how they were in game one, I didn't think it was great when he came off the bench in game one. Look, obviously I'd rather Jack, but I'd actually rather Talakai either. And to a lesser extent, I'd rather Katoni Staggs. I think, to me, If I was New South Wales selector in the morning, Stephen Crichton would be a fourth choice centre.
Yeah, he's been, like, to be fair to him, he's been in and around the camp for the last, is it the last 2 years? But he's still, I think he's young enough that it's not really his time yet, if you get me. Which, like, he's 22, I think. Another 2 years, like, he might grow into it. Like, he is very, very long, very, very light, if you get his legs, compared to the likes of Jack Whiten, and maybe, like as you said, Talakai, like there's nobody going to pick them up and drive them back the way he was driven back in the second game, like,
no,
in the first game, sorry.
No, and then there's also the thing, like, I was texting you during the game, whoever, it's like, he just shoots out of the line so much, and I was like, I said it to you at the time, and it was relatively even at that time. It was like, if New South Wales go on to lose this fixture, he's potentially someone who's going to
have the effect, an outcome, yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
And you can just see with that try when they came down his edge, like, he was the one that fell off when they had to be disciplined in their edge defence. Yeah. Like, yeah, he was the weak link. When all the shoot up tackles he made, he grabbed them or he sort of got them. But as soon as they came down the edge and he hit the hole, that discipline line, that's when he was let down. Like,
yeah, no, 100% agreement. But look, I think it's going to be the pick of the three games.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, definitely. Like, it's definitely, you couldn't write it nearly, like, you know, that way.
Yeah.
Like, this game, like, the first carry, if you miss the first carry, you do not like rugby league. You're not sitting with all your bits and pieces, breakfast sorted, whatever you need, or your dinner, or whatever you are in the world. If you are not sitting down ready for the first hit up, just give up.
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah.
Do you know what? New South Wales are going to do it. I don't care. I know it's never been done before, but I think they're going to do it in spite of, I would say, I'm going to pip them by 2 points.
Ooh! I think they'll win by 2 tries.
Ooh, jeez, that's big.
Yeah. I think if they get on top of them, and if Queensland, like, there might be a controversial yellow card or something, fingers crossed. Like, I know the yellow card was a massive decision, but ultimately, like, Queensland didn't play bad, they just ran out of steam. Like, they just tackled themselves into exhaustion, like, so you're hoping, dear God, we get another yellow card and we can run over top of them again.
Look, it's gonna be, you gotta stick it on record, you gotta highlight the season, game a decider. I don't think I've much else to discuss.
No, I think we're all quiet. I know there was a magic round in the domestic fixtures, but I haven't seen any results up, so they've been very, very quiet. The Irish Rugby League page, for some reason, I don't know why, they're not as updating as I know the girls. I think Dublin Exiles won against Galway, and I know the Longhorns were bet by Galway as well. So
yeah, I think the Exiles did beat the Cork Bulls as well.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Banbridge.
Alright, very good.
Banbridge overcame the Cork Bulls. I think it was a heavy scoring.
Yeah, it was heavy score, yeah.
And I think the Exiles and the Fighting Irish game got pulled. I think the app boy Fighting Irish had kind of issues with COVID amongst other things. I think I don't think they could actually fail in the end, so pretty disappointing stuff. But yeah, that's all from me.
I think that's me done too.
Yeah. Thank you and good night.
Good luck.
Points all. Play to Keary. Veers down the left. Short pass Mitchell. Beautiful pass to Tupou. Into the backfield. Gibson to the Nesco. Goal!